We can turn our Bibles again to John chapter 6, and I would like to read verse 53 and 54. This is found on page 945 in your pew Bible. John 6, verse 53. Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Well, in our text, Jesus is speaking about soul food. Now, when I say soul food, I'm not referring to the comfort food that comes out of the southern states in America, fried chicken, mac and cheese, and those other foods, as delicious as they might be. That is not what Jesus is referring to. He is, of course, referring to the fact that God has made humanity with both body and soul. And he is now telling us that just as the physical body needs to be fed, we cannot live apart from food, so our soul also needs to be fed. And if we aren't eating the right food, we will not live. In John 6, the people who Jesus is speaking to would have understood the need for food. They're here in the wilderness, in the beginning of the chapter, in this desert place, and they have come to hear Jesus preach. And there are these crowds, 5,000 men plus women plus children, so probably 20,000 people gathered together in this wilderness, and they don't have food. And so they've been hearing Jesus preach all day, and they're under the baking sun, and their stomachs are starting to growl. And so it's apparent to them that they need food. They cannot live if they don't get food. And so Jesus then, of course, as you know, children, he takes the 5 loaves and the 2 fish from that young boy, and he makes enough food for everyone to eat and to be satisfied. And Jesus did that as a sign to teach us a spiritual lesson. And that's the lesson we're getting to in our text. This lesson which Jesus is speaking about, the need for food for our souls. And so that's our title for this morning, is soul food. First, what we must eat. Second, how we must eat. And third, why we must eat. So soul food, first of all, what we must eat. Well, in our text, Jesus is acting something like a spiritual dietitian. And he is prescribing for us the healthy spiritual diet. And as Jesus is describing what is the healthy spiritual diet for our souls, notice that he says there is only one food on the menu. There is only one food item on this diet plan. When it comes to spiritual eating, all things in moderation is a terrible idea. It's a deadly idea. No, Jesus says there is one food and one alone for your souls, and don't eat it in moderation. Come and indulge. Come and eat. Come and feast upon this one food. Don't be bashful, but come and have your fill of this spiritual food. Well, what is that one food item? Jesus couldn't be more clear in our text. Notice he states it in verse 53. Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." And so what are you to eat? The flesh and blood of the Son of Man. Jesus Christ, he is the heavenly meal. He is the feast. He's the food. He's the drink. And he makes this point repeatedly in our text. Verse 54, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life." Verse 55, "For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Verse 56, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me. Verse 57, he who feeds on me will live. And so you get the point. Jesus is hammering it home verse after verse, and he's saying, I am the food that you must eat. I am the spiritual food. Now in the second point, we will flesh out what that means to eat Christ. But in this first point, we want to just focus on Christ himself. We want to focus on the food. Who is this food? What is this food? And so as we look at this meal that Jesus is presenting before us, as we look at him, notice what he says about himself. First, he says that he is the bread from heaven. Christ is the bread from heaven. His feeding of the 5,000, it reminds us of a time when God fed a much larger crowd in a desert with manna. There in Exodus 16, we hear the record of God sending bread from heaven, just like snow coming down and laying upon the earth. The manna came down from heaven. There was bread, and so the people could eat. And you see that the people that Jesus is ministering to in verse 31, they make the same connection. Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. But Jesus responds and says in verse 32, most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And so Jesus is saying, yes, God fed his people with manna. That was a sign pointing to the true manna. What you have eaten, the bread that I have just made for you, 5,000, you have eaten bread, but it's pointing to the real bread. And so Jesus wants us to understand, first of all, the peril of our fallen situation. He wants us to understand that there is deadness apart from him. Just like the Israelites in the wilderness, if heaven doesn't send food, they will die, they will perish. So Jesus says in verse 53, if you do not eat the Son of Man, you have no life in you. No life. Completely spiritually dead. Completely insensitive to God. Hearts of stone. And so this is what Jesus says, we are by nature. By nature, our souls are a dry desert. By nature, we are spiritually dead. Because of our sin, we're famished, we're starved. And so we need something to come and fill this void. And if it's up to us, we try like the Jews here to fill it with other things. Notice the crowd in John 6, they're coming to Jesus for physical food. They're coming to Jesus in verse 26, and he calls them out, and he says, you seek me not because you saw the signs which pointed to me, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. And so these Jews, they were like every other ordinary fallen son and daughter of Adam. They are seeking to fill their bellies. They want comforts. They're trying to fill the void in their life by provisions. They think if they have the bread, they'll be fine. But Jesus is saying, don't labor for that food which perishes, but labor for the food which endures to everlasting life. And so there's a rebuke in that. Don't labor. Are you laboring? Is your soul laboring to try to fill itself with things that don't satisfy? Don't labor for that which is bread, but labor for the one who gives life. And so in his rebuke, there is this gospel remedy. I am the bread of heaven. I am the true bread. I am the true spiritual manna. Verse 57 says, as the living Father sent me, Jesus is the bread from heaven. He's been sent by the Father. And in this word sent, it has the idea of sent with a mission. The Father has sent his Son, the eternal Son of God, from heaven to come to this world with a purpose. He's come and he's been sent on this rescue mission to satisfy hungry souls, to come and to give life to hungry, perishing souls. So Jesus has been sent and appointed by God to be the bread of life for this hungry and perishing world. So that's the second thing. Yes, he's the bread from heaven. He is the eternal Son of God. He wasn't born, he didn't begin with his birth in Bethlehem, but he pre-existed as the eternal Son of God. He's sent from heaven, but he's sent as the bread of life. Verse 35, I am the bread of life. Again, verse 48, I am the bread of life. Jesus Christ is the spiritual food who gives spiritual life. The death that is ours by nature, the death, maybe, child of God, that you've been seeing in yourself as you've examined yourself this week and as you've seen your sin, that death is overcome by the bread of life. This Christ, he is the life giver, and he alone truly satisfies for our greatest spiritual need. Notice verse 55. He says, my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. And you could translate that as, my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. And so what Jesus is telling us is that he is the real food. When we think of food, we generally think of the physical thing that we ate for breakfast, the cereal, the toast, whatever we had. We think that's the real food. But Jesus is wanting us to lift our minds up and to see, no, these physical things, they're the signs of the real thing. Jesus Christ is the true food. He is the true drink. He's the one who can truly satisfy. He's the one who can fill your hunger cravings, the cravings of your soul. He's the one who fills our emptiness. And so he's saying, I am a rich feast that doesn't disappoint. Do you feel the grumblings of your empty soul? Do you hear your soul growling as you're trying to fill it with other foods? Jesus is saying, I am the bread of life. I can satisfy. And I am the one who truly satisfies. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. And he who believes in me shall never thirst. And so Christ, he is the bread of life. He is the one who satisfies. And he is the bread of life for sinners because of his death. Because of his death. Jesus is the bread of life because he's the broken bread. That's the third thing we need to see about Christ. Yes, he's the bread from heaven. He's the bread of life, the one who gives life. But he's the broken bread. That's how he gives this life. Notice he's speaking here in our passage about flesh and blood. And this is graphic language. Flesh and blood. As we read the Gospel of John, the most vivid place where you will see Christ's flesh and blood is at the cross. It's when he's crucified. And there his body is being broken. And there his blood is being poured out. And so Christ here is symbolizing his death. The body that the Father has prepared for Christ has been prepared for this purpose, that it would be broken. That it would be broken, that it would be torn apart, that it would be rent apart. And so this is vivid, this is graphic what Jesus is picturing here. Verse 51, he says, the bread that I shall give is my flesh. I shall give my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. And so Jesus, he is the Word become flesh. The Word who dwelt among us so that he might give his flesh, his body, for the sake of sinners, so that they might live. And so Christ, his sacrifice is in view here. Yes, we must feed on Christ. That's our call today. We must eat Christ. That's what we must eat. But we must eat a crucified Christ. We need a Christ that's broken. We need a Christ, this spotless Lamb of God, this one who has lived perfectly, but who has also died, who shed his blood, who's been crucified, who's borne the wrath of God. We need a crucified Christ because it's in his death that there is life and life abundantly for sinners. This is what's on the menu. Jesus Christ and him crucified. He is what we must eat. And notice that, we must eat him. If we do not eat the Son of Man, there's no life in you. We must eat this broken and crucified Savior. That then leads to our second point. How must we eat? There's this important question we're faced then with then. How do we eat the Son of Man? How do we eat the Son of Man? This is what the Jews were stumbling at in verse 52. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Now, this obviously is not a literal eating and drinking with the mouth. Jesus isn't calling for them to commit cannibalism as he's there in their midst. He's obviously not speaking about that. But he's also not referring to an empty sacramentalism. And what I mean by that is merely an eating of the bread and wine of the sacrament. In fact, in John 6, the sacrament, the Lord's Supper, isn't first and foremost in view. Here is Jesus, and he is speaking about the gospel. He is preaching the gospel to these Jews. And so while he's preaching the gospel, he is calling them to eat his flesh and to drink his blood. And so while the sacrament here is not first and foremost in view, we'll see that there are applications for it. Because in the sacrament, we are getting the same gospel. We're getting the same Christ. But what does Jesus then mean when he says we must eat the Son of Man? Well, eating, simply put, is believing. Eating is believing. We eat Christ through faith in Christ. And you notice how there are a couple of parallel words that John uses, that Jesus uses to eating. Verse 35, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst." So come, believe, and eat. They're all signifying the same thing. He who comes to me is the one who is eating me. He who believes in me is the one who is eating the flesh and drinking the blood of the Son of Man. And so Jesus is telling us that it's through Spirit-worked faith that we receive Christ. We eat this meal, not by works, not by merit. We don't have to come to the table. We don't have to come to Christ and pay a fee. We don't pay for this meal. But this is a free meal. It's a all-you-can-eat buffet, and the price tag is zero. It's Jesus says to the Jews in verse 28, they want to do the work of God. What do? To do the work of God. And Jesus says, stop doing works and start believing in me. That is the work of God, that you would trust me, that you would believe in me, that you would eat and drink me. Notice that, eat and drink. Those are words of receiving something. We're receiving God's gift. There's no payment for this soul food. It's this free meal. We come empty-handed. We come undeserving. We come to Christ, and we feed on him in faith. That is something we all must do. Again, we stress that we all must eat the Son of Man, or else we have no life in us. Children, you know what this is like. You see the imagery. Food that's left on the table doesn't help you. It doesn't nourish you. It doesn't give you strength. It doesn't give you life. Food must be placed in your mouth, and it must be chewed on, and it must be digested and get into your stomach. That's when it nourishes. And so the same is true spiritually. Jesus Christ, apart from us, doesn't help us. Jesus Christ out there, not applied to us, that doesn't help us. We need to eat Christ. We need to consume him by faith. This eating, it's an ongoing activity. It's a present tense participle. It means we're continually eating Christ. We don't just eat of him once and then stop eating. No, it's this eating of Christ, yes, that satisfies us, but also that then gives us a longing to keep eating him. And so we keep coming, we keep believing, and we keep feeding on him. And we see this, that Christ is the food in the gospel that's preached to us. This is, Jesus Christ is the one food item in the preaching of the word. He is the one that our souls feed off when we receive the word in faith. He's the one we eat when we open the word in private devotions. We're eating Christ by faith in him. But he's also the one then we eat at the table as we partake of the bread and wine in faith. We are eating, we're receiving Jesus Christ for the nourishment of our souls. And so as we come to this table, know that the bread that's broken is not magical bread. It's bread. It's ordinary bread, but it's bread that as we eat it in faith, with our eye upon Christ, that we are then, by faith, eating Christ, participating in Christ, receiving Christ, and he is nourishing our souls. So eating means believing. But there's more to the picture of eating. It also pictures this intimate union with Christ. In John's gospel, Jesus uses many pictures to refer to his union with his people. So think of John 15, and you have the vine and the branches, and the call to then abide in the vine. The vine is giving the sap to the branches, and the life then flows from the vine to the branches. But here is the picture of consuming food and drink. And so we need to see the picture. Why does Jesus say, "Eat my flesh and drink my blood"? Notice verse 56, "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him." And so he wants union to come to mind. Just as we take the bread and we put it into our mouth, the bread goes in us. There's this connection. There could hardly be a more intimate picture. We are taking Christ in. He's abiding in us. We're receiving him. And then he is giving us the life just as the bread breaks down and gives us nutrients. And so that's what Jesus wants us to see today at the table as well. Yes, he says, "Come and eat me in faith," but come and come knowing that there is union, there is communion, there is intimate closeness between me and you, that your soul is being fed. Come knowing, as what Paul prays in Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And so there you have the same thing. Christ dwelling in our hearts, the bread of life being ingested, coming into us, dwelling in our hearts, and only that by faith. And so that's how we receive Christ. Christ is the meal. He is the one we must eat. He is the bread of life, and we eat him through faith. That takes us then to our third point. We've seen what we must eat, Christ, how we must eat by faith. Now, lastly, why we must eat. Why must we eat? Well, we've already been driving home this point. It's obvious from the picture that Jesus uses. He is the bread of life. Children, you know physical food gives life. Physical food nourishes. Physical food strengthens. No food means no life. Starvation is a serious thing. Famine means death. And the same then is true spiritually. We need Jesus for spiritual life. No Christ means death. No Christ means no life, spiritual and eternal death. You must have Christ or you will die in your sins. That's the point Jesus is bringing to us. Why must we eat of this bread? Why must we drink of his blood? It's that we might have life. And so the great benefit of eating Christ is eternal life. Verse 54 stresses that. Whoever, Doesn't matter who you are, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. That's a guarantee. They have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So there are two things in view with eternal life. Jesus is first of all speaking of the quality of life. Eternal life isn't just something for the future. It's not just something that will happen later on, after we die. But Jesus is speaking here of the quality of life. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has, present tense, has eternal life. It's already our possession. We already enjoy this in part. Jesus says the same thing in John 5, verse 24. Those who believe already have passed from death into life. That's already happened for God's people. And the reason is that the sum and substance of eternal life is given to us in John 17, verse 3. Jesus says, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, in Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." And so, child of God, that is what you have. You have life. You have eternal life. You already do through eating Christ in faith. You have eternal life. You already know God. You already know him as your Father. You already know him as the one who gives his Son in love to you so that you might live. You already know him as the one who has adopted you into his family, who has taken you, has gone to find you, the sinner, and he's taken you and brought you into his family. You already know this God, the only true God, and you know the Christ whom he has sent. You know him. You have fellowship with him. Isn't this the longing of your heart? That you would know him more? It's because you have tasted and seen that he is good. I want more of this Christ because I know that he is the only food for my soul. I've tried other foods. I've been other places. I've tried to satisfy myself with other breads, but they don't satisfy. And so I want this Christ. I need this Christ. I want this Jesus. That's a sign that you have eternal life. You already have this quality of life, this really true living. If you don't have Christ, you don't have good quality of life. You don't know what life is. But for those who have eaten and drunk this Christ in faith, they know what life is. And here's the beautiful thing. Jesus wants more of this fellowship today. That's what he's telling us. That's what he's telling you, child of God. Yes, you already have eternal life. You already know God. You already know him. But he wants to know you better. He wants to fellowship with you more. He wants to enhance the relationship, to go deeper with him. And so he's spread this table for us. He's prepared this meal. He wants you to know the Father's love even more. More of the depths of the love of Christ. He wants you to plumb those depths. And so he's saying, remember what I did. Remember how my body was broken for you. Have you forgotten? Have you forgotten of my love, of what my love is? I was broken. I was poured out for you. Know what I've done and feed on me. So quality of life. But also quantity of life. That is there, quantity of life. Verse 54 goes on and says, I will raise him up at the last day. Those who eat of Christ in faith in this life, they will die unless Jesus returns before that happens. They will die, but Christ promises he will raise them up on the last day. There is quantity of life. There is unending forever life. Verse 58, he says that exactly. He who eats this bread will live forever. Forever. Unending life. You taste this bread. It's so potent, so powerful that if you eat this bread, it gives you life forever. Never to perish. never to grow weak and to fade away, but forever, eternal, never-ending life with Christ. And so that also is why Jesus has given us the Lord's Supper. Yes, he's given it to us so that he might fellowship with us, that we might remember his love, but that we might also remember what his love has purchased, what his love has won. And so he's saying, child of God, as you eat the bread, as you drink the wine, know the life-giving power that comes through me. That's not in the elements in and of themselves, but that's in me who is pictured through the bread and through the wine. You have eternal life. You have eternal life. The Son of Man who has descended from heaven, has come and completed his mission, has now ascended to heaven, and there he reigns in unending life. And we are united to him. And so that is our guarantee that we also have eternal life. And so what we do for a few moments this morning as we participate in the Lord's Supper, as we feast on the Lord Jesus Christ, as we enjoy Jesus serving us, serving our souls with himself, that's what's happening. It's not the minister just breaking bread and the elders passing it through the aisles, but it's Christ himself spiritually coming to our souls and feeding us with himself. As we enjoy that for a moment this morning, know that is your portion for an ending time and for all eternity. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Amen.